Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Brandon Woodruff. Welcome to the Small Business Podcast, where every week I interview a different small business owner and ask them the questions that matter, the questions that you can take their answers and apply them to your business directly. We just get really practical here. My guest today was Rory Alter. She owns Progressive Rehab and Strength, and I think you're going to really enjoy this episode. She's going to be the first one I do a part two with. We were just going through it, and she just had so much just helpful, awesome stuff to say that we just kind of put pause on it and said, you know, I don't want to rush this. We were approaching an hour, and I was like, let's just go ahead and schedule a part two so we can just pick back up where we left off, because it's just such awesome stuff. This is where I usually plug my fitness coaching services, but instead I'm actually going to plug hers right now, because you know, all of us in the fitness industry, we have different specialties, we have different things we focus on. You know, mine is mostly people who, whether it's weight loss or muscle gain, they're either first getting into to fitness and, you know, trying to get into some strength training and things like that, or they're getting back into it after a while, or they're in that kind of early intermediate phase. Her specialty, as you'll hear, is she's just really, you know, just legendary at helping people who have injuries, you know, kind of rehab that, whether it's an old injury that's been nagging you, whether it's a new injury and you're trying to get, you know, kind of nurse yourself back to health. She's kind of a guru at that. So I would say reach out to her. You'll hear her contact info and see it in the show notes. If this is you and you're struggling with an injury you're trying to overcome. So enjoy this episode. Let me know what you think. Excited for the part two.
So, hi guys, thanks for having me. I'm a physical therapist, competitive powerlifter, powerlifting coach, nutrition coach, and educator. So that's a lot to swallow, but it didn't happen overnight. So, you know, that's really, in terms of my business, that's what I do. I do online coaching, online rehab, in person as well, meet day coaching, compete in powerlifting from the local level to the international level. Had the opportunity to compete at the Arnold and the World Championships. I'm considered a bench press specialist. And my favorite thing to do in terms of my career is really doing like the rehab coaching aspect for competitive powerlifters. So taking a lifter, whether it's post-op or after some type of injury where they really like don't know how to handle getting back into barbell training, or they've worked with physical therapists or doctors who have said, nope, sorry, can't bench press anymore. Really helping them break those barriers and reintegrate into their competitive sport. And then the second favorite thing that I love about what I do is teaching. So whether it's teaching athletes, coaches, or clinicians, how to optimize barbell training from a programming and technique perspective for longevity and injury risk reduction in powerlifting or barbell training as a whole.
Awesome. Awesome. And you're in New York, what part?
Long Island.
Okay, cool.
But you'll notice like I have like a Northeast accent, because I've lived in New Jersey, Boston, yeah, Long Island. So sometimes it
like all blends like together.
Weird sounds that come out of my mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. My oldest daughter is like, she was born in Alabama. We lived in Georgia. Then we were in Brooklyn, and now we're in Missouri. So she kind of has, sometimes it sounds like she has like a little bit of like a Brooklyn way of saying things. Other times it's like a Southern way of saying things. It's kind of weird how it blends together. So just tell us a little of, like, we kind of got a lot of your background there already, but when it comes to, like, have you always been involved in, like, strength and rehab and things to some degree? Or is there any time before you kind of, like, got into that? Or is that just kind of always been your life, like, your professional life?
So, I mean, if we go, like, all the way back.
Yeah.
Like, performing arts in middle school and high school. So, figure skating and gymnastics were like a small subset of what I did. And then the majority of what I did was, I wasn't a competitive dancer. I was a performance dancer. So theater arts and just like general dance performances. So company performances, not competitive. Yeah. And then my plan when I went to college originally was to be a dentist. But I when I was in college, I was on a dance team, and one of the girls on the dance team was in the 6-year doctor of physical therapy program at the school that I was at. And she was talking about her her clinical rotation or something like that. I can't remember. But I was just like, that sounds like what I want to do. Yeah. I want to help people. Like, I always was like, I never had an injury when I was growing up. I mean, like, I had kind of like your general aches and pains, but I never had physical therapy, nothing that took me out of dancing. But then when she started talking about physical therapy, I was like, oh my God, like, what if I could not, what if I had my legs taken away from me, you know? So my original goal when I got into physical therapy was really to work with people who, like, amputees or veterans, who, you know, had these massive war traumas. And then ended up going to PT school. When I was in PT school, I was introduced to my husband, who introduced me. I mean, I was always, so I got my driver's license when I was like 17 and started going to the gym. So I was always kind of, I never was like a cardio bunny. I was always like a weight room buddy, bunny, like, but like not the squat rack, but I wasn't afraid to lift up weights.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about progressive overload. I just kind of like, the trainers at the gym just like to train me for free.
Yeah.
So I'd always, you know, throughout college, I went into the gym on a regular basis, but I went from dance to then triathlons. And then when I met John in college, in grad school, he had really introduced me to barbell training. I think my pickup line was, can you teach me how to deadlift 300 pounds? that was in 2009. I was in 2010, really, probably. I was introduced to, barbell training, and the concepts of progressive overload, the functionality behind the squat, bench press, deadlift, and overhead press. And I was like, this is the way to go.
Yeah.
Totally functional. You can use it with any implement. It doesn't have to be a barbell. And you can use it with any person, whether it's someone who's lying in bed and can't walk, all the way up to the competitive powerlifter and strongman at the World Championship. So I knew from that moment that this would be something that I would integrate into my physical therapy practice. And all through PT school, John and I worked at a clinic that was very exercise based and had a squat rack. I was like their front desk girl, but I also, like, very early on started doing personal training there. Didn't really know, like, how to integrate barbells into personal training yet. So I kind of did like the fun, like, keep people engaged, like, walk into the gym, here's what we're going to do today. Everybody kind of like does the same thing. Like, you have your routine that you do with like all your clients that day. Yeah. And then when we graduated PT school, I got my starting strength certification, and in 2013 started coaching people in the barbells. And, I think my first powerlifting competition was in 2012. I started coaching people in 2013, and I did my national championships in 2014. And that's kind of when people, like, nationally started reaching out to me for physical therapy related to them being a powerlifter. My, like, Instagram blew up kind of quickly. Just from being at the Arnold and competing at nationals in the same year. And in 2015, I opened Progressive Rehab and Strength, which was both an online and in-person physical therapy and coaching practice. And then from there, we've really grown, like, a lot.
Yeah.
In terms of what we offer, how many people we have, how many clients we have, how many coaches we have, and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah. That's awesome. What would you say in that time span, let's say, like, from the time you started Progressive Rehab and Strength to now, what would you say are some of the bigger challenges that you've had to kind of overcome in your business?
Well, why is it doing that? Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. The biggest challenges would be really systematizing things. so that you're generating more profit by doing less things, if that makes sense. So I went from, like, for instance, I was seeing like 25 appointments a week, and like 15 of those appointments were barbell training 1 hour sessions. And there's really no innovation to that. Like, they don't need one-on-one. I mean, if you're a good coach, they don't need one-on-one training anymore. They might want one-on-one training for the sole purpose of like chatting with you, but they don't need it, you know? So like, we condensed all my barbell training clients into groups.
Okay.
So I got hours back, you know, like how to reduce my time, how to reduce the hours that I'm physically working, but still generating the same income. So that was one thing that has been, and we're always doing that. We're always looking for ways to kind of increase the productivity, automation,
efficiency,
all those kinds of things. Then another struggle has been like finding the right people to work for the company or with the company. In terms of bringing on more coaches. So I had a couple people intern for me, but they like, you know, and also like, you know, I have a very specific way that I do things, which is why I'm so successful as like the barbell physical therapist, like the physical therapist. So hiring the right people has always been a struggle because like, you have to like, what I was doing was like hand holding them through the whole process, which becomes a tremendous amount of time on my end. And then, you know, maybe like 6, 9, 10 months down the line, they're like, oh, well, I know everything. I'm going to go do this on my own. So, because I've had that experience a couple times with different physical therapists and coaches, I decided to create an online certification process. So, A, I make money doing it instead of like losing time and paying them because they're like working for me. And I'm teaching them. And so I'm making a lot of more money and they're going through the learning process of the system. And then when they come out of it on the other end, if they're the right fit and they express like, or demonstrate it through like taking our course, like our different courses over the span of a year, or a year and a half, they're very bought into PRS already. They have a really strong relationship with me and the other coaches and they just want, they want in rather than like, let me come in, learn and leave kind of thing. You know? So that's how I ended up making courses. And you know, we started our courses in August last year, which has been really pretty awesome. And we've brought in over $25,000 in our courses. Just with, I think that we've had maybe, well, maybe like 30 something students. And like my first course, I priced like super low at like $499, and now that course goes for $998. You know, you know, so yeah, that was like one of the biggest struggles. And we have like, based on like the cohorts that we have going now, we've got our eyes on some people that we want to bring in. So yeah, I think those are like two of the biggest struggles.
So it sounds to me, it sounds like you are very focused on like constantly improving your processes and systems and ways you do things, like you said, to do the same or more in less time. Right. So that's really cool. I'm really curious. I mean, that's, how did you, did people respond well from going from like one-on-one to like being put into like groups?
So a lot of the times as business owners, when we make changes in our structure or whatever, we have like a fear that our clients aren't going to respond to it and be like, you know what, I'll just go somewhere else. But one, I guess this was, is like another thing that I struggled with, is like knowing that if you really are providing the highest quality coaching or whatever service, that regardless of what you do, they're going to stay.
Yeah.
So, were they all happy about it? No. But mm-hmm. it said, sorry, this is it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, everyone stayed.
Yeah. That's awesome. 100% like, retention.
So, I mean, some of those people have, you know, we started the groups in 2018. So like not everyone is still here because like mm-hmm. with our schedule or whatever, which is fine.
But you didn't lose anybody because of the switch.
I did not lose anyone because of the switch. That's awesome. And also like with this whole COVID thing happening, like I'm like considering restructuring my in-person stuff, especially because I'm also due in October.
That'll change things a little.
I think it's going to be a more abrupt change this time because they're expecting to come back to things the way that it was. But also, like, by the time gyms open in New York, I'm going to be due in, like, 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
You know? And so there's going to have to be some type of restructure so that when it does happen, when this baby does come out.
I like how you put that.
But I mean, the good thing is that my gym is in my garage, and it's a very nice gym. It's 362 square feet.
Wow.
Insulated, real AC, real heat, two cages and a squat rack. I'll be able to have my, you know, I'll be able to work even with an infant, but you know, I'm not going to want to work as much.
Right.
I mean, in person, like online, that's the other thing is like, I am really shifting the business to be more online and as much automation as possible with the online stuff, whether, you know, courses are easy because it's like you sell a lot of spots for the courses, and that's like a large sum of money. And all I have to do is like show up once a week.
That is awesome.
So
very scalable.
That's the thing, is like I'm always looking to scale as well. The online coaching, I struggle with scaling coaching because it is extremely individualized.
Yeah.
And I don't like the AI type stuff. I don't like group coaching, because even like with my in-person group coaching, they're not on the same programs. They all have their own program.
Gotcha.
So we don't offer like an automated type programming thing to buy. But that's why I need more coaches.
Yeah.
So I have one coach who's a physical therapist, and with the cohort that we have now, there's one person that I really have my eyes on to bring in. Cool. As soon as programming fundamentals is done, she'll be
nice.
Offered a position if she wants it. So
that's awesome. If she didn't know that and she listens to this podcast, she does now, huh?
Well, she knows, it because so our certification is, we have two. We have a coaching certification and a clinical coach certification. So the clinical coach certification is only available to clinicians. So they need like a doctorate of physical therapy.
Curious about that. Yeah.
Awesome. But the coaching certification is available to anyone.
Okay.
And the coaching certification is 3 courses. So it's programming fundamentals, technical models, and business best practice.
Okay.
And then if for the clinical coach credential requires a 4th course, which is clinical advanced practice. So she was asking me like all these questions. So business best practice is like how to set up your business and like all that kind of stuff. But it's really based off of like our core values, our mission, how we present ourselves on social, like, you know, like,
yeah,
there, you know, those two companies that we were talking about before, plus like how they might have like very negative, polarizing ways of like presenting themselves on social media for like the wow factor and like all that kind of stuff. Or some people like charge, they don't care about like the ethics or whatever. Like, we'd rather give quality versus like just having like 200 clients at $99 just to make more money than having like 5 clients at $500.
Yeah.
You know? Or like in traditional physical therapy, people go for like 12 weeks, like they run their insurance into the ground. Like, okay, you might get better in 2 sessions, but come for 24 sessions.
Yeah.
Like, we're not about that. And a part of our mission or our core values is that, okay, we're going to get you better as fast as possible with the highest quality PT and with the highest quality ethics, so that like you go out and say like, these are like 100% people, you know? And then like anytime you're injured, you come back because you know you're going to get better fast.
Yeah.
Like, I got to go to PT again, like, blah, 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 you know, that kind of thing. So that's really what our business best practice is like based off of, so that when they do come into PRS, they understand like why we don't charge insurance until it runs out and that kind of stuff. But so anyway, she was like asking me all these questions about like, how much should I charge and like, what should I do? And like waivers, I was like, girl, don't invest too much money in your business because we want you.
you were like, I've got to tell you.
Get through programming fundamentals and then let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
She was like, what PT, like electronic medical record system should I use? I was like, none, because you're going to use Bard. So like, it's black.
That's awesome.
So I did plant the seed a little bit. So and she's like one of our highest participating students. So
that's so cool. That's awesome that you're finding good people. It seems like a pretty hard niche to fill.
Okay,
so let's get into some of the kind of behind the scenes business stuff here. So I think I have a pretty solid idea of who your target audience is. That's the next question I usually ask, but you would say that, you know, athletes or people who are training using barbells who need rehab, would you add anything to that as your target audience?
No, I would say, I would say like we have, you know, and this is something we talk about in business best practice also, is like the ideal client avatar, which I'm sure you've heard that term before. So yes, that would be the ideal person, is the barbell athlete who has a history of injury or is injured and wants to get back to where they were before and better. But that attracts people in the diaspora of that.
Yeah.
So, I try and I do a 5-day like jumpstart coaching career free challenge, like leading into our courses and people are like, but I want to work with this kind of person and that kind of person and this kind of person. But you like need to know, like, you have to have one clear image of who, like one type of person, because like I have a 70-year-old mom who does nutrition with me.
Mm-hmm.
And she got into barbell training because her son lifts.
Yeah.
And she's my client because he's my client. Gotcha. You know, so like you're still going to attract like more people, mm-hmm. even if you're like super focused for your messaging
purpose. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, that would be, yes. And we have like two realms of the business. So the coaching and physical therapy realm, and then the educational realm. So that ideal client is a little bit is different than the online or in-person rehab coaching client. So our PRS Blackboard, which is the umbrella term for like all of our courses, the ideal person is the novice clinician. So like someone either just about to graduate or who is like 1 to 2 years out of school, who's interested in integrating barbell training and powerlifting into their rehab practice and or opening their own business and doesn't know how to do it or doesn't have the confidence to do it. So that is that ideal
That's
client.
Awesome. That's really cool. So when it comes to kind of like marketing, getting, you know, prospective new clients kind of like knocking on your door, like what does that look like? How do you guys like get your name out there in front of people? How do people find out about you?
Well, Instagram has been like my main way of doing that. I'm really bad at Facebook, but obviously like we found each other through Facebook.
Yeah.
I know something about Facebook, but
right.
So Instagram and like content creation is, especially if you want to do it without spending a dollar, content creation and just being consistent with content creation is very important. So whether that's blog posts or articles, Instagram posts, I've been like exploring with stories. The last couple months, stories have been extremely helpful in terms of developing. So like someone could like lurk on your page forever, right?
Yeah.
and never get to know you, but in your stories is where they get to know you.
Yeah.
And then that's where they can engage with you more. So I've been like, a lot of my sales on Instagram happen in my stories.
That's awesome.
So, but also, you know, I do email marketing, but my email marketing is like not great. I use basically like, have you ever heard the term lead magnet?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a couple of lead magnets. They're all PDFs except for this 5-day challenge that I just told you about. The 5-day jumpstart challenge is literally that. It's a 5-day challenge.
Yeah.
Which was a new marketing tactic for myself. I used it to leading into the sale for Programming Fundamentals, and it worked decently well. I think these people behind me are who are in my course right now.
Okay.
He's like, how many?
I was quietly curious who the names were back there.
5 of those 16 people signed up through either the challenge or the webinar.
Oh, wow.
And then the other people, you know, I did like shout outs in advance, like a couple months in advance of going live. I did like get on the wait list and you can get in early and get all the bonuses. Mm. So like, and I do all that through social media. And on our website, we have pop-ups, you know, like you pop up in like Programming Fundamentals, like start and get on the pre-sale list or whatever. So this time around was the challenge was the first time I ever tried a challenge. And I also did a webinar, which was really invigorating. Let me tell you, like it was cool because like you go into the webinar, you do your little like teaching module and then you do a Q&A and it's like, okay, if you buy during the webinar, you get this, 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 and this. And I'm like, okay, you got like, there's like 5 more questions. You only have like 10 minutes left to get all this.
Like an auctioneer or something.
Yeah, it was like, we had 3 people, I think, buy during the webinar, which
that's
was
awesome. Really
cool. So I was like, oh my God. And like, of course you can see them come through. So then you're like, Courtney just bought. Congratulations.
Shout her out in real time.
Yeah. So it was cool. I use social media as I did a little experiment with myself once. I posted every single day for 45 days and I got 1,000 new followers.
Oh, wow.
So, and it's not, but the thing is like people really stress about followers and I had a 6-figure business well before I had 10,000 followers, you know? So you don't really need to stress about followers. It's the quality of the followers that you have and the connections that you're making and like creating that funnel of like, okay, so they're following me on Instagram, but like, do I own them?
Right.
And you need to own them. Like Instagram, like you're not going to make money off of Instagram unless you have somewhere to put them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we have an email list that we try and grow. And every time we put out a lead magnet, we get at least like 2 people purchase at some point from that lead magnet. So,
yeah.
And then like, you can't look at it like a lot of times people are like, oh, only 2 people purchase, but like these are recurring payments and they are, and our retention rate's extremely high. So when you look at it like, okay, I put out a lead magnet, we got 700 people to download or sign up for our 9-week isolation, social isolation training program, right?
Yeah.
And we had, I think, 1 person buy from it.
Gotcha.
Okay. But she's, like our retention rate for online coaching clients is over 2 years.
Nice.
So when, and she started with monthly coaching and then she upgraded to weekly coaching. So like, you know, and like, and when someone upgrades, that's a really good sign.
Yeah.
So you can't just look at it. Oh, like, well, I only made $99 off of that because she only bought monthly coaching. No, you made $99 for 4 months and then you made $239 for 24 months.
Yeah.
So, having like lead magnets, just providing a ton of free value, I would say on social media, it's like 90% of the time you're just providing free value and you have to engage. Like if you don't engage back, like if you just post something and then you just like don't respond to people's comments, like they're never gonna be like, oh, she doesn't like know. Like people want to know that you know them and that you're listening to them, you know? Yeah. So 90% of the time just posting value and engaging, and then 10% of the time selling.
Yeah.
But always having somewhere to put them, you know? So I have multiple lead magnets. We have articles on the website. So we use Linktree. We say, like, click the link in my bio. Click the link.
Yeah.
Oh, click the link in my bio. Yeah. Try and get them, like, off Instagram. And then we have a free Facebook group also, which is, like, almost 700 people. We've not been too engaging in there. We do free form checks in there.
Yeah, Facebook's not your main thing, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, we do free form checks twice a week in there. So we probably do, like, hundreds of form checks a month.
Wow.
And we were doing a free, like, live coaching call in there once a month, but with COVID, we kind of, like, switched out of doing that. But we, like, get a lot of people from there who then sign up for online coaching.
Cool.
So.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I don't know if I answered the question.
Yeah, no, you definitely answered. You actually answered that question and the next one I was going to ask you, which is awesome. Yeah, it was just asking about, like, kind of, what if you didn't address, like, how you put out content within the marketing question, I would ask, like, what do you do with, like, content on social media and stuff? And you already answered that. I'm always impressed when people say Instagram is their biggest thing, because like for me with fitness coaching, Instagram, like, I don't know, I think I just don't have the Instagram personality, but, like, ironically,
but you do people on Facebook, you know?
Yeah, and I do a lot of stuff on Facebook.
Yeah, so that's, like, that's just a different way to approach it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and there's different like, how old are you?
32.
Yeah, so am I, or I'm 33, but, like, Facebook came out, like, when we started college.
Yeah.
And, like, you could only get a Facebook account if you had a
.com. Right, I remember that, right?
Yeah. So, like, the new generation, like, the younger generations aren't on Facebook as
right.
much. Like, they have, like, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, and all those kinds of things. So, I think it's important to be on both platforms. I try, like, one of the things that I do, and I don't do this enough, like, I really don't spend enough time on Facebook, but also, like, going into Facebook groups that are similar to the niche that you're in, and just engaging in those Facebook groups, providing value, answering questions, but not selling, will bring you into, and then you can kind of, like, make private connections with people, like, oh, you know, I, like, saw your thread, I commented, and, like, I just wanted to share this with you. You can send it in a private message, and, like, that might be an article that you
write, yeah,
post that you like, and then like, it's, I mean, I thought it was, like, kind of sleazy when I was introduced to it, but, like, it worked. I got, like, 100 people in my Facebook group, so I would. It's like you have to pick and choose where you spend your time. It's a lot of time to kind of do that stuff.
Yeah.
Haven't really nailed the Facebook ads thing yet.
Yeah.
We've messed around with it, but I think that, like, you really have to invest a lot of money in it to then start making a lot of money with them. And I'm just like, not 100. I don't know if we, like, know enough about ads, like, internally to do that. I have a business manager, and he's taken, like, a small course on Facebook ads. And I think part of the problem is we're just not investing enough money in the ad, behind the ad. I don't know. So I'm just literally not into ads.
I'm not a huge, I have not done, only time I've ever run Facebook ads is when they're like, hey, run a free ad and, like, try to hook you, you know, like, and I got a few hits, but not a lot. I mean, honestly, I would say unless it's outside of referrals and, like, people that I already knew, like, pretty much all of my online clients that I've coached, I've been doing it for about 4 years now, and pretty much all of them, outside of what I just said, have come from just, like, organic Facebook content. Like, you know, I do all the stuff you said, you know, go in groups, I have my own groups, like, all that kind of stuff. Instagram, ironically, with my furniture business, does much better. I think it's just because, like, the account is literally just pictures of all the furniture I sell and like, the descriptions.
Some of the people that are just looking for that nice table. I don't know if, like, you do, but, like,
that's it. It's like vintage type furniture.
So when they see an account and they like, you know, so. But one other thing that I do is I ask, so I'm a clinical athlete provider. And as a starting strength coach, I always ask them to repost my, well, they usually, like, starting strength will usually just repost my Instagram posts. they have a weekly newsletter. So any article that I write, I give it to them and it goes in their weekly newsletter because they have like a From the Coaches section.
Yeah.
So we get a lot of traffic from that. Clinical Athlete, like whenever I do anything with them, I get a lot of traffic. And I just tag people.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think you got to tag carefully, like,
yeah.
And hashtag carefully as yeah. well.
So it's not spammy. Like,
yeah. So. Cool.
So, all right. So that's, you know, that pretty well covers like target audience marketing. And when we get into like sales process, let's say, you know, people are, you know, they found you, you guys are like ready to have the discussion. What is like your sales process? Like, what does it look like to take them from potential client to client? Is that usually yes. done over the phone or what does that look like?
Yeah. So, for many years, I had a business manager from 2017 to 2020 that I just got rid of, and I was going to get rid of her well before I got rid of her, but then I got pregnant and I was like, I can't do this right now. But I'm just like so glad that I got rid of her. Yeah. Hopefully she never listens to this podcast. But for the longest time, we had our pricing on our website. And people come, they price shop instead of value shop, and then we weren't getting people buying. But also, if we were getting people buying, periodically, it was not the right client for us, right? So I kept telling her for literally like 2 years, I was like, we have to take our prices off our website. It has to be like an inquire kind of thing. Like, So finally, maybe like a year ago, we implemented a free consultation call.
Okay.
And we have signed many more clients in that regard than having our prices on the website directly.
That's interesting.
And so basically what happens is on our website, there is a book your free consultation or whatever. And that takes them to a schedule. It's not my schedule. It's only my other coach's schedule because I'm not taking clients right now. Mm-hmm. So they pick their time. Then they get a form to fill out. It's basic information. Like, you don't want to give them like, give me your whole training history, because if they decide not to work with you, then like, you know, we don't want all their information.
Yeah.
It's literally just like your name, your phone number, your email address, how you found us, why you're contacting us, and when do you want to start, and what services are you interested in. And those are specifically there to get them to think like, oh, I plan to start this at this time with you.
Yeah.
And also like, this is what I want to do with you. Okay. Right. And then the calls are booked for 30 minutes, but we slot them for an hour. We usually go over an hour on them. And I mean, we have like Alyssa, so my other coach, I call her the closer because she just like nails the sales calls.
Yeah.
I really don't do a lot of the sales calls because we implemented them after I started. I had another coach also working for me. So we implemented the sales calls once I hired two coaches. One of them has since left, which is fine. Good riddance to him. Didn't belong here. So like my intention was never to like, I don't want to take more. Like, I mean, listen, at some point I want to take more clients, and I probably take like one or two clients a month right now, but I really don't want to. It's just out of like, they were an old client and they're coming back, or they're a nutrition client and Alyssa doesn't do nutrition coaching. So like, I only take the clients that I like absolutely have to. But on the sales, like the sales calls where it happens. So like that, and that's what I say the difference between price shopping and value shopping is because like when you're sitting there with someone and someone is hearing you and understanding you and saying like, I get it, this is what you want, and this is how we can work together to accomplish your goals.
Yeah.
And then you say, okay, like you briefly talk about the pricing, and then you say, I'm going to send you an email with the links and you just let me know. And what Alyssa does is actually pretty interesting. She books the call, and then we do a coaching call with them once they sign up.
Okay.
But like, that's where you really sit down, you go through their history, you talk about their schedule and like blah, 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 and really figure out what's best for them.
Gotcha.
So Alyssa's tactic, which I really like, is she says, okay, so when do you want to book your coaching call?
Yeah.
And then, so they book it. And then she goes, okay, I just make sure that you get the payment in before the coaching call. And then we can get started. So it's like, oh, okay, I have my coaching call. I have to make sure that I pay.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So she does really well. And then, so also this was interesting because in the five-day coaching career, the 5-day Jumpstart Coaching Career Challenge, basically what the challenge was is like how to like get a client, basically. And the fifth day of the challenge was like, okay, like we take them through steps to like you're breaking through like imposter syndrome, who's your ideal client, so like talking about what an ideal client is, defining that, putting together your mission statement, like content creation, core values, and then the last day is like, okay, like, and then there's like social media prompts, like they're supposed to be engaging on social media this whole time. And then the fifth day is like, okay, you have to do a call now.
Right.
And
okay.
So we outlined like the sales script. It's not a script, but it's like a guide, right?
Yeah. I get what you mean.
How to do a sales call.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need Alyssa to do this one with me.
Yeah.
Because like she's better at the sales calls than I am. And so that's when she like delivered her little secret to me. And I was like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so I was like, that is pretty cool. So then I started using her little tactic, and I had three calls. I mean, I really didn't want to have those three calls. But I ended up nailing, I think, two out of the three, which is, you know, when you look at conversion rates, like you can't expect to convert everyone. Mm-hmm. But also the people who get on the calls with you are much more likely to buy than someone who doesn't get on the call with you.
Right.
So that's why you want to get people on calls.
Yeah. So. Yeah, thanks. That's really good, really helpful. So I think we've already kind of touched on this a little, but what makes people kind of, once they are your client, like what causes them to, you mentioned that like your retention rate is over 2 years, right? So like what makes them stick around for so long, would you say? I mean, obviously results, but like outside of that, like what else?
Really developing a relationship with your client, but also setting boundaries, you know, like being extremely supportive. I mean, really, I don't know.
That sounds like enough, you know. Well, results and relationships, I think, are the keys.
Results and relationships, and also what sets us apart is that, one, our clients do not get injured. We do not have, I mean, across the board, we have not had an athlete have a major training injury that has taken them out for months.
That's awesome.
And I think that is a big, big, big difference between just like your kind of run-of-the-mill online coach and what we do. And that really comes down to, one, our background in physical therapy, and two, our athlete monitoring system and our injury risk reduction strategies, which is I teach it all in my two courses, Programming Fundamentals and Technical Models.
Yeah.
So, and we have a very detailed weekly check-in process. There's also a block review, monthly feedback. So we're constantly getting feedback from our clients. We do video reviews. And we're always upgrading, like, making things better. So I mean, listen, are there people who have quit? Of course there's people who have quit. Are there crazies who have like flipped out on me? Of course there are. But 90% of the time, the people that I work with, the reason that they're leaving is more just a financial problem. But I have like, we have like training logs, and there are 52 week training logs, and like I have people, I don't think I have anyone on their sixth training log yet.
Yeah.
I didn't implement that until 2015.
Yeah.
Even though I did start with some people from in 2014 in terms of like online coaching or whatever, but I've like a lot of people on their fifth training log.
Wow. 52 week training log.
Yeah.
Wow.
So 5 years. So, and also it's like, And we see this in the difference. So like we have three levels. We have monthly coaching, which is relatively new. I think we like implemented it maybe a year ago.
Yeah.
$99. Yeah. It's less and way less involvement from the coach. So there isn't that weekly check-in process. And which I think is key because we can, these programs, like we write the program, but they're very dynamic. So they might change, you know, based on what happened this week.
Yeah.
You know, and like your log review every week or you're like, oh shit. Like I didn't sleep at all. I have like my house burned down. Like, you know,
that looks affect things.
Yeah. So, you know, we it's very rare that I don't change something in someone's program based on like their response that week. Right.
Yeah.
So the monthly does not have that. Okay. And the retention for monthly clients is lower than it is for the weekly or the rehab coaching clients. And the reason is twofold. One, because it doesn't have that athlete monitoring and dynamic component to it. Mm-hmm. Or three, they're not building the relationship with their coach because they're not getting that like one-on-one connection every week. And then three, it's a lower price point, meaning that those people likely chose that because they don't have the financial means to support long-term or like higher priced items, services, right?
Yeah.
So they're not set up financially to be with us for long term. So we really like, we actually just had a meeting about this, is that we really don't want to sell people on monthly. We just kind of have it there. The real thing, the most ideal situation is that people start with the weekly coaching. And then if they're like in their off season or like they're having a kid or like whatever, their wife had a kid and they like can't dedicate, like it's like kind of like on the back burner, that they can just transition to monthly for a period of time and then come back. Like we really don't want monthly to be the entry point. We want the entry point to be the weekly or the rehab coaching.
Yeah. So. And then the monthly is there like as a backup option basically.
Right.
That's cool. Yeah. Cool. So we'll kind of start to wrap up here. If you want down the line, we can do a part two, cause I've got plenty of questions, but this is awesome, awesome stuff. And I don't want to take up too much of your time, but like,
I don't mind doing part two. I love talking about this and it'll be good. Cause we do have our business best practices course coming up starting in July.
Yeah.
So I could use these as part of, as like,
yeah, that'd be awesome.
Material for the courses. So.
Yeah. That'd be super cool. Well, let me do one more question for this one, and then we will we'll get together and schedule a part two. Planning wise for your business, what does kind of planning look like for you? So I know you've already mentioned that, you know, you like to consistently optimize things, make things more efficient, make processes and systems better. So I already know that you plan, you know, and you're not just kind of flying by the seat of your pants with this, but like, what does it look like for you? Are you like in 5 years we're going to be here? Is it like year by year? Like what does planning for the future look like?
Like day by day.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I think there's definitely different layers of planning. when we look at the big picture stuff. So, the big picture for the business is more coaches, more physical therapists, and expanding our reach in terms of physical therapy. So telemedicine, which means that we need, so this is kind of like, this is our like large vision. And this, we set this kind of in stone like 2 years ago, which was our rehab coaching is the most expensive element of what we're in terms of the one-on-one coaching. Mm-hmm. It's in terms of the client side, not the education side.
Gotcha.
We want more rehab coaching, and the best way for us to do that is if we can charge, if it can go through insurance. The only way for it to go through insurance is if the physical therapist who is working with that person is licensed in the state that that person is in.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's rehab coaching. It can't be submitted. So we wanted to get, the goal is 5 physical therapists who are also powerlifters and coaches to be working with us by 2020, which didn't happen for many reasons, mainly because we didn't have the education system in and we were bringing in the wrong people.
Gotcha.
So we have 1 physical therapist, but I'm fine moving slower. And like I told you, quality over quantity. So yeah. Like if my plan doesn't go according to plan, that's fine. So the goal was to have 5 physical therapists in licensed in different states, and each of them to have a license in 2 additional states relative to their residential state.
Okay.
So we have 1 physical therapist, and she's in addition to me, and she's licensed in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. So she does have to get 1 more license, and we're going to figure that out after, because there's this whole thing called the PT compact, which makes it easier to get a license in another state. That's like beyond the scope of this conversation. So once New Jersey is part of the compact, then we'll decide what other state she goes to. So,
gotcha.
So that kind of helped us say, okay, we want more physical therapists and we want to do more rehab coaching. So we need to promote rehab coaching as much as possible. So all of our content needs to be built around injuries and barbell training.
Yeah.
And then we need more physical therapists, but we know that people just coming into the company blindly is not the right way, because I have to spend too much time educating them.
Yeah.
So from there, we then built our educational system.
Gotcha.
So we also then say, okay, when is our educational system, like when are our courses going to be released? When are they launching? When are we selling them? And then our social media efforts or content creation, when we're kind of going into launch mode, is geared towards courses. And when we're not in launch mode, is geared towards building the rehab coaching client.
Okay.
Attention. But then like, then you kind of come down to like, okay, so we have courses, so we have to make the courses.
Yeah.
I have 2 courses that are completely done. We're in our second round of programming fundamentals. And basically what I'm doing is making smaller supplemental lectures to the first round. So like we go live every week and we do a Q&A where they submit their questions in advance. And I do like a mini lecture, which is like 20 to 30 minutes instead of doing like the whole lecture all over again. So it's constantly kind of like building the content in the course every time we run the course.
Gotcha.
And then, you know, we talked about these like different entry points, right? So like maybe someone can't spend $9.98 on a course, right? But they want us to learn from us. So we have a membership program called the Clinical Coach Membership, which right now is for free. So we had an application process in February or early March, and we let about 30 people in, and then it's closed and they got in for free.
Wow.
And then anyone who takes our course also gets access to the membership with their course. And we're launching the clinical coach membership in January.
Okay.
So for like paid, like a paid membership. So like our efforts, like, so right now our social content is geared towards like rehab coaching clients. And then we're going to kind of switch, and for like 3 months leading into January, kind of gear it towards the clinician who wants to come into the clinical membership. And then once they're in the clinical coach membership, then they get like discounts on the courses. So like then, you know, gets it in to like feed into the courses. So it's like, how do we get people in our courses?
Yeah.
Social media, but also getting them in at like $49 a month.
Mm-hmm.
They love it. They learn from me. We're live. Like, and we have guest lectures. So tonight, actually, we have a guest lecture. So our first guest lecture was last month. Then I'm just basically lining up guest lectures for the rest of my pregnancy. but they're learning from me. They're learning from guest lecturers. Everything's archived. So that, like, if you come in a year, you can still see tonight's lecture, you know? Cool. And so like, hopefully that gets people to want to do our courses.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's awesome. And I think it's really cool. Like, one thing that jumps out at me from what you said, like, that I think will be helpful to people who hear this, is just that, like, that the ability that you have to kind of like, well, let's target this group for a while and then move over here. I think one reason that a lot of people, myself included to begin with, are hesitant to like niche or niche, whatever you say, down, you know, is just because you're like, Yeah, like you think, oh, I'm locked in forever. Like, I'm never going to be able to, you know, if I say this, I can't coach or do any work with any other type of client. But, like, you could have seasons while you do where you do this and where you do this. And like you said earlier, you have a guy who does fit your target audience. But then what did you say his mom, like, winds up being a client too? Like,
and you know? I mean, for you, it's a little different because, like, you have, like, a fitness coaching company and, like, a furniture company.
Yeah.
So, like, there's probably very little crossover, but, like, the clinicians who want to learn about programming and technique and injury risk reduction, that content, like, still applies to the athlete population. So, like, when we're putting, like, I still make one-on-one coaching sales when I'm promoting. Like, I probably get more inquiries about, like, hey, are you taking on clients now? When I'm really strongly pushing the online coach, the courses, because I'm putting out, like, snippets of content from the courses that is, like, very educational. Yeah. And so people are like, oh. And I'm always talking about, like, our four core goals, which is maximize strength and muscular development, reduce injury risk, attain your goals, and improve your longevity. And people are like, yes! And, like, those four core goals apply to the athlete and to the coach, you know? So, like, there's crossover. So, like, you shouldn't be afraid that just because you're talking about one thing, it's going to push an audience away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm going to wrap up the part one here. I think we covered a lot, and I think it'll be awesome to have a part two when we can get it on the schedule. But let's just tell everybody, like, where they can find you. Like, maybe they just want to follow you, but also maybe they're interested in the service. So, like, plug as many places as you like here, and I'll put them in the show notes.
Okay. So for the most information about me and Progressive Rehab and Strength, you can go to my website, which is Progressive Rehab And, which is the word and, strength.com. You can also book a free consultation call directly on the website. And all of our content is on there. You can access our YouTube video or Instagram, our YouTube videos, our Instagram articles, learn about our services, all the coaches that we've got, and all that good stuff there. I don't think that there's a direct link to any of the courses on the main website because we're not promoting them right now. But if you guys are interested in our courses, just shoot me a DM on Instagram. My personal Instagram handle is at Rory Megan, RORIMEGAN _PRS. And then we also have our business Instagram, which is at Pro Rehab Strength. So if you're interested in the courses, just shoot me a message. We have one starting in September, which is our technical models course. But right now we're in program fundamentals. So
cool. Awesome. Yeah, well, I'm interested. I'll probably take one of the courses one day before too long.
You could take our business course. It starts in July.
that would probably need it. So that'd be awesome.
No, it's fun. I really enjoyed teaching.
Yeah. Man, that's cool. Well, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate you taking the time. This has been awesome.
No problem. My pleasure. And I look forward to part two.
Me too. Hey, Brandon again. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed it, got anything from it, please tune back in and please share it with any other small business owners in your life.